Let's celebrate them with a clap offering if we can. Amen. You know God has been faithful to you. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Wow, that means it's not only me that God has been faithful. I'm very conscious of the fact that we are having a lot to do today. So I will try as much as possible to be very, very brief. So let's just bow down our heads as we celebrate the faithfulness of the Lord. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Indeed, Father, great is your faithfulness. Great are your mercies. Great is your loving kindness. Great is your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this year 2025. Thank you for carrying us through. Thank you for proving yourself strong and mighty in our behalf. Thank you for fighting all our battles. Thank you for forgiving all our sins. Thank you for healing all our disease. Thank you for providing for all our needs. Thank you for safety. Thank you for protection. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making us your children. Father, we are grateful. And as a church this morning, we say, please, Lord, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are gathered here today to give you thanks. Father, collectively, O God, as a family, even as your body in this center, we are praying that, Lord, you accept our thanks today. And Lord, as we look into your word, enlighten us by your word. Pray that your word, O God, our Father, will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And let your name be glorified in this meeting. For in Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Turn around, shake one or two persons, tell them I celebrate you. Hallelujah. If God is your daddy, can I hear a big hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
There's this popular song. It's very popular. It's the trending song in my house. I don't know how that song started trending in my house. Where's my wife? I don't know how the song started trending. But it's a trending song in my house. I think it started from my last son. Suddenly, the song became a real serious song in the house. The day you don't sing it for him, you are in trouble. Praise the name of the Lord. And because of popular demand, Shada's a musician, as soon as they talk, I'm going to sing that song. Amen. Daddy win the pamper, daddy win the bless. Forever you're my father, now you will be the best. When I look around, I see your faithfulness. I bow down on my knees, cause now you will be the best. One more time, let's take it again.
Daddy with the papa, daddy with the bless. Forever you're my father, now you may give
Amen. When you look around, you see the faithfulness of God. Now in the pamper us, now in the bless us, now in be the best. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. I want to thank our chaplain for this privilege to bring the word of God to us today in this very, very special meeting, being our annual Thanksgiving service. And I've been asked this morning to speak on the topic, Faithful God. Faithful God. Everybody say, Faithful God. For those that came a little bit late, if you were not here when we took our Bible reading this morning was taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. But for the sake of time, permit me to read only one verse, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. God has several attributes. Several attributes that makes him God. Without those attributes, God will not be God. And all the attributes of God are categorized into two. Into two. I want you to listen to me carefully this morning because I want to be a little bit fast. So all the attributes of God are categorized into two. One set of his attributes are called the communicable attributes of God. And the second set of the attributes of God are called the incommunicable attributes of God. Now, thank God a lot of us are in the health sector. We know when we talk about communicable disease and incommunicable disease. So the incommunicable attributes of God are those attributes of God that makes God God. They are the attributes that he shares with no other entity in heaven and on earth. They are the attributes that only God have. So you can only find those attributes in God. Aside from God, no other person has those attributes. No other creature, no other entity in heaven and earth shares those attributes. And they are called the incommunicable attributes of God. And one of those attributes is that God is omnipotent. That's an incommunicable attribute of God. It means God is all powerful. In heaven and on earth, there is nobody who is as powerful as God. All the powers that you can think about, the powers on earth, whether you call it political power, scientific power, electrical power, demonic power, and all the powers you can think about in heaven and on earth, all put together, they cannot be compared with the power of God. So that kind of attribute of God is called an incommunicable attribute of God because he shares it with no one. I give you another one again. Another incommunicable attribute of God is that God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Now, that's just a few examples of the incommunicable attributes of God. And then we have the communicable attributes of God. These are the attributes of God that he shares with people. He shares with his children. Example, the holiness of God. Bible speaking loudly said, be ye holy as your heavenly father is what? Holy. So he shares that attribute with his children. And one of the attributes God also shares with his children is what we are about to discuss this morning. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is an attribute of God, but it's a communicable attribute of God that even though God is perfectly faithful, God also expects his children to be faithful. So he shares that attribute with us. He commands us to be faithful, just like he, our heavenly Father, is faithful. I pray that the Lord will make us faithful like he is faithful in Jesus' name. So when we say God is faithful, what really do we mean? Or when we say the faithfulness of God, or we say faithful God, what do we mean? Because we are saying the same thing. When we say God is a faithful God, what really are we talking about? Number one, God's faithfulness describes the constancy and steadfastness of the nature and character of God.
I will take that again. When we say God is faithful, we are saying that God is constant. When we say God is faithful, we are saying that God is steadfast, both in his personality and in his character. He is a faithful God. He is constant. He is consistent with himself. He is consistent with his word. He is consistent in his character. That means he cannot be more God or less God. He is God. There is nothing that can happen that will make him to be more God, or something that will happen that will make him to be less God. He is just God. The same yesterday, the same today, the same tomorrow, and the same forever. So anytime you see God, he does not change in his character. He does not change his nature. He remains the same. So when we say God is faithful, we're talking about the constancy, the steadfastness of the nature of God, the steadfastness of the character of God. If you are with me, say amen. God's faithfulness means everything God says and does is right, certain, and reliable. Everything God says, everything God does is right. Everything God says, everything God does is certain. Everything God says, everything God does is reliable, is dependable, is trustworthy. So if God says a thing, he means what he says. So it means God is 100% reliable, 100% of the time. He is not reliable yesterday, and today is no longer reliable. He is not only the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and when he gets to your turn, he is no longer God. No. The same God that was the God of Abraham, that was so reliable and trustworthy in the time of Abraham, and to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to all the patriarchs of old, that same God is still your God. And that same God is still reliable. And his nature have not changed. If you are hearing me, shout a big amen. Amen. So he's trustworthy, 100%. He's reliable, 100%. All the time. God is reliable. When we say God faithful, man, we mean that God says what he means, and he means what he says. God is not like man. God is not like anybody you can think of. Even the best of the best of the politicians, God is not like them. The best of the best of even the pastors, God is not like them. God means what he says, and God says what he means. If God tells you yes, it's yes, nothing can change it. If God says no, it's no, nothing can change it. If God says up, it's up, nothing can say it's down. If God says you are down, nothing can raise you up. And that is why the Bible says, when he lifts up a man, nobody can put him down. The reason is because God cannot change his mind. If you're hearing me, say amen. So faithfulness is a quality that is essential to the being of God. Without it, God will not be God. So what makes God God is because he is faithful. For God to be unfaithful will be to act contrary to his nature, which is impossible. Now hear this. God never forgets. God never fails. God never falters. God never forfeits his word. God cannot say something today, and then when you show up tomorrow, say, hey, I forgot that I made that promise. No, God never forgets. God cannot give you a promise today, and tomorrow he said, oh, I will not be able to meet up again. In fact, something came. I don't have enough resources to meet up to the promise I made for you. No, God cannot fail. God cannot fail. God cannot falter. God cannot forfeit his word. He cannot deny his word. Oh, I have seen a lot of men that they give people their words. And when you came and say, are you really sure I am the one that told you to do that? Are you really sure I made that promise? But that is not God. God cannot deny his word. His word is as certain as his person. He is faithful to every word he speaks. And if you are with me, say amen. Now, I want to ask us a question. What is it that will make you so sure that God is faithful? On what basis can you stand and guarantee yourself? And even if somebody is asking you, you say, is your God really faithful? You can stand on that foundation and say, my God is faithful.
I will give you four or five before we pray. Very quickly.
On what foundation? So I will be looking at the foundation for God's faithfulness. That is why I started by telling us about the incommunicable and the communicable attributes of God. Why is it that God is so reliable? Number one, because God is all-knowing. That's why he's so reliable. That's why he's so dependable. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. God knows the future. He knows the past. So before he makes a promise, he already knows how that promise will be fulfilled. And that is why he is so reliable. He knows where you are coming from. He knows where you are going to. He knows where how you are going to end. That is why he's so reliable. You see, sometimes you have a problem and people will be looking at you. You'll be running helter-skelter and people will tell you, you need to trace the source of this, your problem. And you go to a lot of people, different people will tell you different things. Some will give you different prophecies in a bid to trace the source of the problem. And yet, they may not be able to trace the source of the problem. But I have good news for you. The God you are serving knows the source of every problem on it. And you know what? Not just that. He also knows the solution to every problem. That's why he's so reliable. He's so knowledgeable. All knowing. There's nothing God doesn't know. Nothing. Nothing. Number two, why is God trustworthy? He is trustworthy because he is all powerful. He's omnipotent. The psalmist said, once has he spoken, twice have I heard, that all power belongs to God. All power. And so, God is so powerful that he cannot make a promise that he cannot keep. There is no promise God makes that is beyond his ability to keep. No promise.
If you are still in church, shout hallelujah.
Job chapter 42 verse 2. The Bible says, God can do all things. That's how powerful God is. He can do all things. Jesus speaking in Matthew 19:26, he said, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. With God, all things. All things. How many things, church? Come on, talk to me. How many things? Now, I want to ask you a very simple question. And I want an answer. Who can define all things? All things means what? All things means? Everything means? And all things means? You can see. He said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Are you here? People are calling you barren. God can change barrenness to fruitfulness. With God, all things are possible. God can turn dead wombs, bring them back to life. People whose ovaries have been removed, God can replace them without any surgery.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I watched a video of late Archbishop Idahosa. And one day he was ministering and a woman came to church crying. And he said, what is the problem? And they said, a woman came with a dead boy to church. He said, a dead boy to church. He said, yeah, you are the one that told us that your God can do everything. So, when my child died, I told the doctors that I'm taking him to church.
He did not even pray. He only called the boy back to life. And that was all.
God can do all things because he is all powerful. And
just like when we were praying in the pre-service prayer meeting, between now and December is still too big for God to perform a miracle in your life. The Bible says a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It does not take God anything to change your story. He is all powerful. If you know your God is all powerful, say amen. Amen. I did not hear that amen. Amen. Why is God faithful? Number three, God is omnipresent. God is so faithful because he's present everywhere. He's all present. You are in church now, God is here. We are in Kefi, in Nasarawa State, Nigeria, God is here. Your family members that are in US, Houston, wherever they are, God is there. As people, we are here during the, it's about, what's the time? Few minutes past 11. There are some people, this is their midnight. They are busy sleeping, and God is there. So God is everywhere. So when he gives you a promise, he's everywhere. He can bring material from everywhere, from heaven and on earth, to make sure that what he speaks come to pass. He has resources everywhere. Everywhere. In heaven and on earth, God fills everything with himself. And that is why God is so reliable. That is why God is so faithful. Number four, God is truthful. God is truthful. He is all truthful. He is perfect in truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4 says God is perfect and God is truthful. Jesus speaking himself declared, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Our God is a God of truth. And that is why he cannot lie. When he makes a promise, you can go and sleep. He cannot change his mind. Has God made a promise to you? I dare to say to you, if it is God that has made that promise, there's nothing that will change it. That promise will come to pass. It's impossible, the Bible says, for God to lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. It's impossible for God to lie. It's so impossible. It may take time. Men may manipulate the process. But if it is God that has spoken it, be rest assured that this God cannot lie. He cannot lie. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, the Bible says, God is not man, neither is he the son of man. He said, God cannot lie and he cannot repent. That is God. God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And shall he not do it? If God says a thing, he will do. Number five, God is immutable. Immutable. That is, means God is unchanging. God cannot change. Tap somebody by your right hand. Tell the person, hey, hear me. God cannot change. Tap another person, tell the person, God is not like you. God cannot change you. That's why he's a faithful God. He cannot change. He cannot. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. The Bible says, by two immutable things, which makes it impossible for God to lie. Two immutable things. Hebrews chapter 6, please. God cannot change. Verse 17. Thank you. He said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, quickly. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. God cannot change. You cannot say that the God of Abraham is different from the God of Isaac today. No, it's the same God. The God that used the shadow of Peter
to heal the sick is still the same God today. The God that uses aprons from the body of Paul to heal the sick is still the same God today. The God that they spoke and the dead came back to life, that same God is still the God you are serving, I am serving today. God cannot change.
And that is why he's a faithful God. Men can change. Governments can change. Situations do change. Husbands change. Wives change. Nations change. Empires rise and fall. A lot of changes on earth. But there's only one thing that remains a constant, and that is God.
Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever.
If that is your God, can you shout a thunderous hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Shout a thunderous hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God cannot change. He remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That is why he's so reliable. That is why he's so dependable. That is why he's trustworthy.
Oh, sorry, when I used to pray. I say, God will not see me and change his mind on what he has planned to do that he has been doing long, even before I showed up. In your matter, God will not change his mind.
And then you say, why is it that God doesn't answer a lot of things? Why is it that things are like this, like that? No. The problem is not God. The problem is man.
The promises of God, maybe let me share this with you quickly.
The promises of God are divided into two. The promises of God, listen very carefully. They are divided into two. We have the conditional promises of God and the unconditional promises of God. Now, most times, we try and make God say God must act on the conditional promises without we meeting the condition. It doesn't work that way. Now, there are conditional promises of God that you must meet the condition for God to act. And there are unconditional promises of God that you don't have to do anything. God have to act. There are unconditional promises of God. For example, Jesus have died. Your sins have been pushed away. You did not do anything about that. It's an unconditional promise of God. Whether you believe it or not, that your sins are forgiven, the truth about it is that your sins have all been what? Forgiven. And all you need to do is to do what? Place your trust in Christ. When he told Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation, he attached no condition to it. And no matter what Abraham did, Abraham was coming out to be a great nation. When the promise went to Isaac and then it went later to Jacob, even when Jacob was a swindler and a lot of things that Jacob did, it did not hinder the promise of God because God was bent on fulfilling his word that he has given to Abraham. And that is why I get afraid when people this day go to a lot of people and they give them prophecies and the prophecies don't come to pass and they say, thus says the Lord, when God has not spoken. If it is God that spoke, then it will surely come to pass.
Praise God.
And so when you see the conditional promises of God, you need to meet a condition. You need to meet. For example, the Bible said that if we confess our sin, God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every iniquity. Now, what is the condition? Confess your sin. Now, when you confess the fault, whether you feel it or not that God has forgiven you, the truth about it is that you have been forgiven. You have. Why? Because you have met the condition. Salvation is for everybody. But what is the condition? You must place your faith in Christ.
If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Let me wrap up in 2 minutes. What should be our response to the faithfulness of God? I will share with us just 3 responses in 2 minutes and then it will be over. Number one. How should I respond to the faithful? Number one, rest in his faithfulness. Tell somebody, rest in God's faithfulness.
Just rest. Find rest in his faithfulness. Rest in the faithfulness of God.
When the chaplain read when he was taking the prayer in the book of Lamentation chapter 3.
You see, his faithfulness is new every morning. So find rest in his faithfulness.
what he has said he will do. He will do. Please give us 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24. Let me show us something very wonderful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24. Rest in the faithfulness of God. He said, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So rest in the faith. Why are you troubling your heart? Rest in the faithfulness of God. Are you here? There are things you are trusting God for. It looks as if they are not coming forward. Brother, sister, rest in the faithfulness of God. How should I respond to the faithfulness of God? Number two, reciprocate the faithfulness of God. Reciprocate the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, it is therefore expected in stewards that a man be found faithful. God expects faithfulness from you. Husbands, be faithful to your wives. Wives, be faithful to your husband. Workers, be faithful to your employers. Church members, be faithful to your church. Faithfulness. Reciprocate God's faithfulness by being faithful to him. Being faithful to the assignment he has committed into your hands. Being faithful to his calling over your life. Finally, this morning, remain thankful for his faithfulness. Remain thankful for his faithfulness. And that is why we are gathered here this morning, to give him thanks for his faithfulness. For he is indeed a faithful God. By his faithfulness, he has kept us from January even up till now. It is the faithfulness of God that has carried us through. It's the faithfulness of God that has kept us. The Bible says it is because of the faithfulness of God that we are not consumed. If God were to open your eyes to see the battle that is going on over your life, you'll be so scared of even going out. But God shields you, preserves you, protects you, fights for you, and gives you victory. He deserves all things. Bow down your heads as we pray. Faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you, Lord. Oh, faithful are you,
Lord.
Say, you are so faithful. The church is saying,
faithful are you, Lord.
Oh, we are saying,
faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you, Lord. You are so faithful.
Can we just open our mouths this minute? Thank God for the servant of God. Can you use the mouth to bless him this morning for how God has sustained him, for the word that he has brought to us this morning, that God would uphold him, that God would bless him and his family, and whatsoever his heart desires, that God will fulfill in the name of Jesus. And also pray for ourselves, that even in this month, we will not take the faithfulness of God for granted in our lives. In this month, we shall walk with God with that consciousness of the faithfulness of God, in the name of Jesus. And I also want to encourage us, even as the word came, said, December is too a long time for God to do something. Just keep trusting in him. Be faithful to God. And that thing will come to pass in the name of Jesus. If you believe with me, can you shout, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.